We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From inside Camp Randall Stadium, Learfield IMG College presents Behind the Badgers, an exclusive look inside Wisconsin athletics. Here are your hosts, Patrick Herb and Brian Mason.
Episode 9 is on the air. Brian, we made it through 8 episodes. I was hoping we would never have to do a podcast after a loss, but here we are. Wisconsin falls at Illinois in heartbreaking fashion. I don't know how else to put that. That was a gut punch, but the podcast rolls on. We got a good one lined up today. We got a lot to unpack. We're going to talk about the Illinois game. We're going to talk about the big opportunity ahead of them with number 3 Ohio State looming. We had Garrett Groshek on the podcast, a guy who can really put things in perspective about what the team is going through right now and how what their mindset is. We also had some fun with him. We talked about who his special officiant is that will preside over his wedding coming up, why he's glad to get out of that house of 21 guys that we talked to Tyler Biadasz about a couple of weeks ago. And then we talked football. We talked football with him. He's a funny guy. Stick around for that. But thanks for listening. Thanks for all of you who've been listening for all our podcasts, especially Connor Zableski up in Alaska. Connor wrote to us and said he wanted to have Tyler Biadasz and Garrett Groshek on the podcast. We make it happen. That's how easy it is, right, Brian?
Just send us who you want, and we'll go get them.
You can reach us, behindthebadgers@gmail.com, if email is your choice. Twitter is there, too, @behindbadgers. We're on Instagram, @behindthebadgers. We love your feedback and advice, so please keep it coming. Brian, we always start this way, and we're not going to change with a win or a loss. So let's start with trending topics. Trending topic number one, what a bummer.
Oh, this is trending like people noticed? Oh, shoot. Okay, I was hoping nobody saw that. Yeah, Saturday, there's no other way to look at it. Saturday was a bummer. I mean, it was a big bummer.
So let's try and give people a window into what we witnessed and what our vantage point of this is. Brian, take us into the locker room after the game. You know, you're there with the team, and we get to see it with our own eyes. What did you observe? What were they feeling?
Yeah, I mean, there's part of it, I think, is probably because it's a game that came down to the last play before you knew that it was going to go down as a loss, that Illinois kicks the field goal as time expires. So there was some shock. Like, I think that was probably the prevailing emotion in the locker room, was some shock.
Yeah, I didn't feel like Wisconsin was going to lose until the very end. Maybe after the late interception that I thought it was a real possibility. Before that, I was like, nah, they'll pull it out. They'll find a way.
It's a game that the Badgers were in control of in most respects, but never really were completely in control of. And we'll dive into some of the specifics of why. But as for postgame, yeah, I mean, it's hard to distill all 70 guys that are on the trip and what they were all feeling. But I think shock was probably the prevailing sentiment. And then, you know, I mean, selfishly, one of the, and you've lived this, one of the worst parts of our job, and there are many great parts. One of the worst parts is the, okay, you've lost, and now you've got to go face.
Oh, yes.
Now you, now our job is facilitating interviews post-game, and
the last thing they want to do is go listen to reporters ask them why they just had this gut punch.
Right, relive what happened, right, even though they haven't finished processing it fully, and they're still trying to figure out what happened, and then they're going to ask questions about what and why, and that's, not only is it not their favorite part, it's not my favorite part either. Right. So that's always, that's part of the mix for me too.
You know, I don't know what fans, if you ask somebody like what they, what do you think is going on in that locker room right now? And I don't know what you, I don't know what people would say, but what you didn't see was hysterics. You didn't see guys throwing things against the wall. You know, their frustration, certainly. But I think that people, like, if people think that they're like breaking things in the locker room,
they're a little
off on that.
It's the hurt of a missed opportunity is what it really comes down to. You had an opportunity to go win a game on the road, and you didn't do it. You didn't do the things you needed to do to win it. And it's that sort of that letdown, like you've let yourself down. Like, I think that's what you saw. It was not hysterics. It wasn't anger. It was, like I said, shock. And then sort of the stages of grief, right? Like, you're kind of coming to grips with it.
Yeah.
And the reality of, like, okay, that really happened.
Where are you on the seven stages or however stages of grief now? Are you over it? Have you moved on?
Yeah, I think as much as you can, for sure. I mean, it's still something that's in the back
it
of
stings,
your head.
But
yeah, I mean, I think we would all be, I'd rather be talking about a game between, you know, 2-7-0 teams this week, but we're not.
Sure. So we asked Garrett about it, and, you know, one of the things he said is that they were so close to being able to win a game where they didn't play well. And there would have been a lot of, like, strength in that, that, look, even when we maybe play our worst game of the season, we could find a way to win. And they were. They were so close. There's three plays that you can kind of look back at and say, if any of these are a millimeter different, things are going to change. And I would look at Kendrick Pryor being pulled down at the 3-yard line instead of getting all the way into the end zone on that play, because then first and goal from the three, Wisconsin doesn't get in, has to settle for a field goal. Jonathan Taylor's fumble clearly was a big point in the game, because Wisconsin is winning 23-14 going in. You would think to score, if they score a touchdown, there's
a score puts it away.
It's 30-14 with under 10 minutes to go. And Wisconsin walks away. And then the last one, obviously, was the interception that Jack Cohen had on third down that set up the game-winning field goal. And all of those were, you know.
Well, I think, and it's sort of cliche, Illinois took advantage of their opportunities. But I think that's part of it, too, is not only did the Badgers make some mistakes down the stretch, but any one of those doesn't happen, the Badgers probably still win the game. Even with those mistakes being made, if Illinois doesn't find a way to capitalize on every one of them,
right?
Again, we're probably talking about a different result here. So it's,
but we're not. So what went wrong? So what were the? There were some really uncharacteristic things that happened in this game. Wisconsin had given up one play of 40 plus yards on defense all season long in their first six games, and they gave up two touchdowns of 40 plus yards. We haven't seen that out of this defense. They're just uncharacteristic. Wisconsin hadn't been turning the ball over. They ended up having these turnovers that we haven't seen. Jack Cohn's been very, very good this season. He was very, very good in that game.
He was great, especially on third down. You go and you look at his numbers on third down. He was 10 of 11 before that pick.
Wisconsin couldn't get the push up front that we're used to seeing from the offensive line, from the running game, that they had a lot of plays that went for three or fewer yards on the ground. And JT's average this season has been double that.
Right. Running the ball consistently after that first drive, running the ball consistently was a challenge. And you talked about on defense, it was not just the long touchdown plays, but it was Illinois' ability to consistently gain, even if it wasn't a 20-yard chunk play, to chew up some yardage and keep moving the ball.
Yeah, that was surprising, inexplicable. Like, all those things that you just, they had shown no tendencies of that through six games.
But there's a lot of things when you look back statistically on this game that don't make sense. Badgers held the ball for almost 41 minutes. I mean,
right.
That's,
you don't lose often when you have.
And Paul Christ has said time of possession in itself is not a recipe for winning. But when it's that out of whack, 41 minutes to 19, you usually don't see things go the other way. The Badgers never let Illinois into the red zone.
Yeah, that's astonishing. Weird. Right. He gave up 24 points, but no red zone snaps.
Right, and I said this in the aftermath of the game that I think is one of the most bizarre things is the Badgers went into the game as the only team in the country that hadn't trailed in a game.
Right.
Technically, they still haven't trailed during any second of a game. I mean, they lost.
The clock was at zero when the ball went through the uprights.
Exactly. There has not been a play played yet this year where Wisconsin trailed, yet there's a loss in the loss column for them.
Where were you standing at the moment when they lined up for that kicker?
I was on the field goal. I was on the Wisconsin sideline, just ahead of where Illinois was lining up to kick.
Were you like sending like voodoo rays to like jinx, 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 noonan, noonan?
Honestly, I was having
because
I was having flashbacks to the Outback Bowl on January 1st, 2015, when it came down to Auburn with a chance to kick a field goal at the end, and all I had in my head was that sound of the ball of the reverberation after the ball went off the upright by Auburn, and I just was like, I want to hear that sound. I want to hear that sound. I want to hear that sound. And instead, you heard crowd noise.
Instead, you heard jump around.
Yeah.
Are we okay with, okay, so Illinois trolling Wisconsin, playing jump around after the game's over and after they win and rush the field. How do we feel about that?
Good on them. I don't. In my opinion, yeah, I'm kind of the good same on way. Them,
like, it, like in the moment, it was like, you sons of guns. Like it was. Let's try to be censored here. So, in the moment, it's like, are you kidding me? But I don't know.
If the shoe was on the other foot, I would have no. You know, I would have no qualms about us doing something like that. So.
I think one way you can look at it, and I will choose to look at it this way as a Wisconsin fan, that it's a little bit of a. It's a little bit of a nod to saying that we are in their heads. You know, it's a little bit of a compliment by saying that when they rush the field like that and they
oh,
make
it's definitely
this is
a
the,
compliment. Yeah.
That this is the biggest thing that has happened to their
right.
program.
Beating
in
Wisconsin
a long time.
Is a huge win for them.
I think back to like the 2006, 2007 men's basketball season, that year when Wisconsin reached number one, Orlando Tucker's final year, and they lost three games in the regular season. And the other team rushed the court all three times. They lost at Indiana, at Michigan State, and at Ohio State. And a team rushed the court every time. That shows you are a really, really good team. When
you're doing something right if the opposing fans want to rush the field or the court after a win over you. That you are a target for their team.
I'm going to hold on to that feeling. I'm trying to hold on to that feeling that we are a good team. So what does this mean? What does this mean now? There's a certain narrative that like, oh, this always happens. The Badgers break my heart. That's not really true.
Well, I think if you're a fan of a team, your heart is going to get broken at some point. Okay. And that's not a central to Wisconsin idea.
Unless
that's
you win
every
the national
team.
Championship, your heart will get broken.
Right.
It's sports. That's sports. It's why we love sports. It's why we hate sports.
Right. This idea of they're going to break my heart. Oh, they broke my heart again. Well, yeah, that means you're in a position where there's something on the line.
Right.
I mean, and I think for fans, probably definitely more than the way, you know, we have to look at it or especially the team looks at it. For fans, it wasn't just losing to Illinois. It was this idea that the perfect season is ripped away or the idea of playing in the playoff is probably ripped away, things like that. Whereas, and Garrett will talk about it, it's that, like, we had an opportunity and we didn't win the game.
I think this is a byproduct of what the college football playoff system has done is that for a lot of people, media included, it's all or nothing now. If you don't win, if you don't make the CFP and win the national championship, the season
who's in
is a bust.
Right?
Right, sure, that's their campaign. Who's in? So if you don't make the CFP, the season is what? Not successful? I don't know. And maybe fans, that's their standard. And that's okay. You can aspire to that, and the team does. I know the team does. The team aspires to make the playoff and win a national championship. They do every season, and that's okay. But if a loss in October means that you can't win a national championship, maybe that's the tough part about college football, right?
I don't know, but
like basketball doesn't have that.
I go back to the idea that there's 130 teams in the FBS, and if the only one team and one fan base that can be happy at the end of the year is the one that wins the national title, that's like, why play the sport? That's a miserable way to go through your life.
Right. Who's a school? Wisconsin plays Ohio State this week. Ohio State's been very, very good at football. They're only one of the only teams that has a better winning percentage than Wisconsin over the last
they've been ridiculously consistent.
Decade or so, yeah. Right? But their fan base would say that they keep breaking their hearts Now they won. They did win a national championship, but
They haven't won all of them.
Right. So. That was 5 years ago. So since then, you know, they lost at Purdue last year by 29 points. They got their hearts broken.
The year before that,
they lost to a 5-loss Iowa team.
Iowa boat raced them. Right.
They lost to an unranked Penn State team the year before that. So, like, this idea that you keep getting your heart broken, that's sports.
And to me, that's being a fan.
I'm
right?
not trying to defend Wisconsin losing a game. That's not really what this is about.
But losing stinks. But
that's what it's about. Losing stinks, and unless you win the national championship, because here's another thing. So whatever goal you're chasing as a fan, like I just want us to make the CFP. Okay, then let's say they do, and then they lose in the semifinals. Are you satisfied? No. Then you're like, well,
Michigan's,
I just want to
Michigan
win
State
the semifinals.
Michigan State fans aren't satisfied.
Right.
They were a semifinalist. Washington, same thing. They made the playoff. Their fan bases aren't satisfied.
No,
because
then if you get there, you want to get the next one.
No fan base is satisfied. That's what it comes down to. Are Alabama fans satisfied because they've won a lot of national titles recently?
No, they want
of
more.
Of course not.
You want more national titles.
Year. That's one of the best things about sports is that your season restarts every year and the chase begins anew. And so what you did last year isn't going to placate your fan base because they want to win this year. And
that's it.
Maybe.
Okay. Trending topic number two. We've belabored that point. What's up next? Opportunity knocks in Columbus, Ohio. Wisconsin's making their first trip to Columbus since 2013, which is odd. But I think another thing people might be surprised at is that 6 of the last 7 meetings with Wisconsin-Ohio State have been decided by 7 points or less. 2 of them have gone to overtime. We won't talk about the 7th meeting between the two teams.
Outlier.
clearly. This has been a really good series when they've played and they've met. Every time they meet, the stakes are really high.
Right. And I'm going back to this fan base question, you know, that we were discussing a minute ago, that close, like, right, playing a great program like Ohio State close is great because we view ourselves as a great program, and those are the shoes you want to be in. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, of course you want to get over the hump against Ohio State.
So how does the team move forward? What have you heard that the team is doing, their message, like what's happening this week to – I don't think fans quite understand. I don't know. I keep generalizing fans. I think something people might be surprised about is how quickly coaches and players have to turn the page after a game.
You have to.
People, myself, you, fans, we can stew about this loss at Illinois for an entire week because there's no other games. We're not preparing for Ohio State. We're just thinking of opportunity lost. They break down the tape Sunday. By Sunday afternoon, it's over, and it really is.
Yeah,
I mean, what have they been doing? What have you picked up this week on them?
Well, I think kind of emblematic of the whole thing was every week after the team does its walkthrough on Monday morning, it's the first time the team gets together to start prep for the week ahead, right? So they meet and they have this walkthrough. It lasts about an hour, and then at the end, I think a cool thing that Paul Christ has done as head coach is he has one of his assistants speak to the team after that walkthrough. And sometimes, like, I like them because they're very individualized, like the coaches themselves. Sometimes they're really funny. Like, Bobby April had a hilarious, like, sort of a long-winded story/joke that had a payoff that I won't share, that was really funny. And there's a time for that, right? Joe Rudolph had the message after Monday's walkthrough. And I just thought the timing and the tone and the way what he chose to speak about and how he spoke about it were great. And his whole message was, the backbone of this place, this football program, this athletic department, this university is not about perfection. The identity of this place is about balling your fists and getting up and fighting back when adversity strikes. And I just thought the way he delivered it was great it's the task of the team to get up now and respond. It isn't what happened. Now it's on to your response. And I mean, we went back and kind of looked through it, and there are examples of that,
right,
where things have played out similarly to this, that this year's team can look back and say, hey, we're in this spot where we could play this forward and still go on to do big things.
The 93 one.
Right. That was the one we talked about right away. Right. Lost to Minnesota. I mean, that was a team that everything had gone right. They were 6-0. They lose, and then they lose a bad loss to a pretty mediocre might be giving him too much credit, Minnesota team, where Darryl Bevell throws 5 interceptions and it looks like this thing's off the rails. They come back and they beat Michigan. They battle Ohio State to a tie. They beat Michigan State in Tokyo. And they win the Big Ten and they go to the Rose Bowl and then they win that. So that was the first one that came to mind for me. But then you can go back to 99, that team.
The loss at Cincinnati. I watched that game on TV as a student. I thought that was devastating. How in the world could this team lose at Cincinnati?
And then they lost again. And they end up being 2-2. After this is a team coming off
of
Rose Bowl.
Went to Ohio State and got trailed 17-0 in Brooks Ballinger's first career start.
And a legend was birthed.
They came back to win 42-17. So, hey, here's what we're saying. If Wisconsin gets down 17-0 on Saturday at Ohio State, don't worry. Things are going to be okay. They're going to rip off 42 straight points. History would tell us that.
Right. The one thing that you've got in your more recent history is that since Paul Chryst has been here, this is a team that has responded well after losing a game. They're 11-1 after a loss. I mean, part of the good news is they haven't lost that often. The other part is they've only lost back-to-back games once. Now, we won't mention that the back-to-back loss was to Ohio State, but that notwithstanding, they've only lost back-to-back games once since Paul's been here.
Another thing that is lost from this week, we've talked about this, and this is a little inside baseball, is some of the media spotlight that is maybe off of this game a little bit.
Sure.
It's still a really big game. It's still Fox's big noon kickoff, noon Eastern, that is. But it would have the magnitude of it was changed a little bit with Wisconsin's loss, and this has affected you directly.
Yeah, I mean, so for the team, the opportunity hasn't changed, right? Like, Ohio State is still going to be as good as Ohio State is going into this game, and it still means as much for us as it did whether or not the team lost to Illinois. But yeah, selfishly, I mean, we had quite a bit of media exposure lined up for this week that sort of evaporated a little bit in the wake of that loss. And we had Sports Illustrated, the Associated Press, New York Times, and ESPN College Game Day all sort of withdrew their requests for this week in light of Saturday's result. So it's lost some of its national steam, but you can't doubt that it's still a huge game.
Yeah, put that chip back on their shoulder.
There you
go. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're going to need it. Ohio State's really good. I mean, this team can beat you in a lot of different ways. Chase Young, the defensive end, might be the best player in college football. Maybe the best defensive player. There are times when he's unblockable coming off the edge. And it'll be interesting to see how they can contain him, because the venue they're going into is one of the loudest and biggest in the Big Ten. It's 105,000 people, yeah. And it's going to be, that place will be off its hinges, even though Wisconsin lost. That doesn't change anything for fans. They're going to want blood in this one. And so when Wisconsin has the ball on offense, it's going to be loud. And so how you can hold back an edge rusher who's really good when you're going to have to do silent snap counts is a challenge.
Side benefit today, I mean, the weather on Tuesday, first day of real practice for the week, weather was kind of crummy and team went inside. And I think a side benefit of that is you're able to crank up the music in there and try as best you can to simulate that loud environment.
They'll spend a lot of time working on that silent count this week, because they're going to have to. But an offensively, Justin Fields is kind of the headliner for them, the quarterback for Ohio State. And he is a Heisman front runner along with Jonathan Taylor and a few other quarterbacks that are in there. And he's been phenomenal so far, 22-1, touchdown to interception ratio, completing over 70% of his passes. Oh, and he can beat you with his legs. They don't do a lot of design runs for him.
No, but his escapability and the way to extend plays.
He's big and he's tough and strong. So he's rushed for over 300 yards and 8 touchdowns. And that's a dynamic that you have to account for, that you have to keep him in that pocket and not expose those scramble lanes. And that'll be a big challenge for this defense, no question.
Both sides of the ball face a big challenge. This is a team that doesn't have a lot of, at this point in the season, obvious weaknesses.
Yeah, no kidding. They're ranked number 3 in the polls. I think there's a lot of people who think they're the best team in the country with what they've done so far this season. One challenge that I hope we don't face, this is a total side anecdote. It's my first visit to the Horseshoe in Columbus as the sideline reporter for the Badger Radio Network. My sideline equipment didn't work. My headset didn't work. I could not hear the broadcast, LePay and Lucas calling it. My microphone would work, so I could still give updates over the air, but I had no way to communicate with them up in the booth. And the booth at Ohio State is like
it's up high.
Yeah, it's like 15 stories in the air. It's huge. So we worked out this system that whenever I had something that I wanted to offer from the sidelines, an injury update or some observation, I would talk into the microphone, and I can talk to Matt LaPay in his ear off air. And I mentioned something to him like, hey, Matt, I got an injury update on so-and-so. I'll be ready whenever you guys are. And then I would look up at the booth, again, 100 miles up in the air, and wait for them. Matt would dangle a white towel and wave it out the window of the broadcast booth. And when the white towel came out, that was my turn to talk. And so I'd say, thanks, Matt, down here on the sidelines, and say whatever my report was. And then I'd say, back to you, Matt. And he'd pull in the white towel from the radio booth. And so we did that the whole game. I have no idea how it came across on the air. It probably sounded like a half-hearted effort from our equipment. But that's a strange anecdote. That was my first memory of playing at the Horseshoe.
It's in a league full of great environments, great game day atmospheres. It's a really, really good one, and I think that'll help this team. That they from the jump, you're going to know you're in something where you got to be locked in.
Yeah, they'll get their juices going. Trending topic number three. Hockey is off to an awesome start. We need to get fans into that Kohl Center because this is an exciting team, and they've got generational talent, and it's been on display. They had an awesome weekend where they swept the number three team in the country, Minnesota Duluth, the two-time defending national champions. And in doing so, Wisconsin jumped from 17 to 6th in the poll, the highest jump ever in the USCHO poll. That's crazy.
They didn't just win. They beat them 6-2 and 3-1.
Yeah, but the environment was awesome. Like the Friday night, they handed out glow sticks, like these like foot-long glow sticks, and then they went dark house for intros, and the new intro video they have, like, it's just like gets your hair standing up on your arms and your neck. And on Saturday night, there were 13,500 people there, which is a huge crowd for an opening weekend. People aren't thinking hockey yet, so a lot of times the attendance numbers are slow starting into the season. They ramp up. That's a huge number. And
that building is fun when it's full.
And the atmosphere was awesome this week. Another cool thing that they're doing this weekend that I think is cool, or this season, after the game's over, they're introducing the three stars of the game. They're bringing them out on the ice. The three players that they give a star to. It's kind of an NHL
style thing, right? Yeah.
And then that player signs a puck and flips it over the glass to a kid.
That's cool.
In the arena, and they put that on the board. And so it's like a new tradition that they're starting that they think is really cool. But so the atmosphere has been awesome, but the team has been awesome
even
too.
Better, probably. I mean, we talked about Cole Caulfield. He's the biggest name in the world of hockey right now.
Cole Caulfield.
I mean, Duluth, though, to its credit, was able to shut him out in the second game of that series. So he only has
first game without a goal.
Yeah, so he only has 6 goals in 4 games.
He had 2 Friday night.
Exactly. But I thought the biggest thing was that coming off the opening weekend, we knew these guys could score. The question was, will they be able to stop the other team from scoring? And Daniel Lebedev in goal was awesome. He faced 60 shots over those 2 games and stopped 57 of them. That's pretty – I think that answered that question.
Yeah, Tony Granato said after the game that this team showed that they can win in a different way, that they're not always going to be able to score 11 goals and 6 goals like they had that first
Probably
weekend.
Probably not sustainable, no.
Right, so they need to show that they can win a game defensively. And they did that, and they were 5 for 5 on the penalty kill on Saturday. It's the third time in 4 games now they've been perfect on the penalty kill. So that's something that they're really proud of so far, and that's a good recipe if you can win in a shootout fashion, and if you can win by giving up just 2 goals on Friday night and just 1 goal on Saturday night.
So, I mean, they got plenty of momentum, and then they're back home this weekend. They got a series with Clarkson, which
– another ranked opponent.
Another ranked opponent. And then they got to go on the road to open Big Ten play at Penn State. So
yeah,
an important series at home.
There's still tickets available for this weekend. It's a great value for the entertainment. The football team's on the road. So if you're looking for something to do, Friday night, Saturday night, it's youth hockey weekend. There's group tickets available if you got a youth hockey team. You can get some. The team is weirdly wearing their red uniforms this weekend. Clarkson had a trouble with their road uniforms. I don't know if they're not in from the the seamstress yet or what. I don't know. But they
laundry issues.
They asked, they said, can we wear white at your building? And so we said, no problem. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah, I think fans should wear red on Friday too. Make it like a spontaneous red out on Friday. That'd be kind of cool. And then Saturday, they're telling everybody to wear their costumes because it's Freak Fest downtown. And so it's, you know, this the big Halloween party in Madison before that. So everybody wear your costumes Saturday at the Kohl Center and then head over to Freak Fest.
Okay, so after we land. Coming back from Columbus.
Yes, we'll celebrate a win.
Bring your costume with you. We'll put them on, and we'll go right to the Kohl Center.
I will go as sideline reporter.
Perfect plan.
All right, let's get into our interview. We had Garrett Groshek in the chair. Gives us some perspective. Gives us inside the team's mindset. And talks about a lot of other things. We get some personal time. We're going to go down some personal roads with Garrett Groshek. The running back, the junior running back from Amherst, Wisconsin, Garrett Groshek. Garrett, I am sorry that we have to start looking back. Can you take us into the locker room or into the like what the feeling was after Saturday's game?
Yeah, obviously I can do that.
You were there.
Yep, I was present. So obviously the first thing you feel is disappointment. You know that. Obviously, we played just about as bad as we could have played, and we still had a chance, which makes it, you know, tougher, easier, whatever. You know that you played, you know, obviously not your best game, and you still had a chance to win a game in the Big Ten, which what really should be looked at as, you know, an opportunity and, you know, something to use as confidence moving forward. And kind of after we broke it down, or Coach Chris did. We, you know, you had some guys that were bothered more than others. You know, guys that were playing a lot. You know, obviously, like guys like Chris that are super passionate. Guys like Jack that are super passionate, and JT. You know, they wanted to put it all on themselves. And to be honest, the best way to describe it is it was nobody's fault and it was everybody's fault.
Yeah.
To where you just got to realize that, yeah, you could have done something different. You know, myself, anybody could have done something different to help us, you know, win the game. But it just didn't happen. So there's no reason to, you know, kind of think back on it or anything like that. So, and then really from there, you know, guys probably took that night and, you know, still were thinking about the game and everything. But then once Sunday hits, we're straight on to Ohio State.
We've talked about that internally, that fans will let this linger in their heads for the whole week until the team plays again. Like, that's because they don't have anything else to think about other than the game,
yeah,
from a football standpoint, I mean. But I don't think they understand how players and coaches really are able to flush that the next day. Did you watch film of it on Sunday, and then by Monday it's over, it doesn't matter anymore?
Yeah, so we met on Sunday. We watched the first half of Illinois, and then once we got done with that, then that was that. That was the game, and we're on to Ohio State. I went up and watched some film with Coach Sett, and it's all Ohio State now.
How much do you guys?
And actually, Q had a really good message on, what was it, Monday, yesterday, and kind of did the same thing, told the entire team. He was, you know, you got to flush this. You got to trust yourself, trust your preparation and everything like that. And, you know, get back to being who we are, which is, you know, a good thing to have, especially coming from Q. Got a guy that a lot of guys look up to.
That's what I was going to say, because you talk about how it's sort of individualized and how guys process things. You being one of the leaders on the team, do you see it as a role for you? And you talk about Jack and JT and Tyler and Chris, sort of finding those guys that maybe need to talk through it or need a boost or whatever? Or is it, hey, the message for the team is the message for the team and we're going?
No, I think it's pretty much the message for the team is, like you kind of said, it is you don't have time. You don't have time to sit there and think about the game that you played last week or 2 weeks ago or anything like that, when every game in the Big Ten you need to put that entire week into. And, you know, that's luckily we have a good amount of older guys to where that's not really an issue. You know, David Mormon told me right after the game while we were still in the locker room, he's like, hey, we just got to make sure like these guys are ready to go for next week. We can't be thinking about this. We need to move on. And that's, you know, kind of the whole mindset of the team moving on.
Does confidence change after that game or not really, because you know who you are? Like the first six games, and when that's who this team is. The Saturday was just weird. Does confidence change?
I think it's a little tougher, you know, to talk about different guys and how they feel. For myself, it's no, like it's like I felt like, you know, there's obviously stuff to learn from on Saturday, and that we did take a step, you know, whether it's, you know, finding different ways to win and things like that. Like Jack threw the ball 32 times, I think. And I wouldn't hesitate to made his decision on the interception. As soon as I actually broke on my route, I was like, Jack threw the right ball. And then it ended up the guy just making a play on it.
Right.
To where a lot of people were giving him heat for it, I saw on social media and things. But if you watch that guy when he's got time to throw it, he can absolutely shred a defense. And it is really fun to watch this year when you got a guy that is so confident in being able to, you know, trust the work that he's put in and everything like that, and be able to, you know, really let it loose every Saturday.
You opened up a tiny door there, and I don't know if I even want to go there because I don't like validating people who are outspoken on social media. But you mentioned that you saw some stuff. Are you active on Twitter, Instagram?
Somewhat.
TikTok, yeah. Facebook, no TikTok. MySpace.
Nope. LinkedIn.
That's right.
Yeah. I just saw a little bit of stuff, but, you know, obviously I really don't care what anybody outside of our building thinks.
Right.
And I'll say that to their face.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the attitude of the whole team, too.
So. Right. You sort of need that attitude that we are the ones in control. We are the ones who are in this. You know, like, of course, we validate what we're doing, and it's not somebody else on the outside telling us that is just watching on TV on Saturdays.
Yeah. And having played our worst game of the season, I would still take every single person on our team over anybody else on their worst day compared to anybody else's best day. And that's just kind of the feeling that I have with the team. And I'm sure that that's the feeling that other guys have, you know, that really, that strong bond of brothership and, you know, really loving one another and being able to just put it out there for each other.
Yeah. You talked about that bond that you guys have. How did that get built? Because that's not something that just happens.
Obviously, everything takes time. You know, and I've been around, four years now. To where I've been around guys for 4 years of, you know, probably the time when people are most influenced by the people that are around them, you know, in your late teens and early 20s. And, you know, just being able to see guys grow and things like that, I think brings you together. You know, obviously all the time you spend together, you spend 12 hours a day here sometimes with those guys. And during fall camp, we did we had read the coach Seth's gonna be pissed at me for not being able to remember.
you went in the locker room first.
Yeah,
that one. Yeah,
yeah. You went in the locker room first by Mike Smith. I could tell you it's by, but I couldn't tell you.
We won't tell him
as long as you know the message.
Yeah, we won't tell him.
And we did your three H's during fall camp. We had just about everybody in the entire on the team. You know, give their three H's, which was hero, hardship, and highlight. And you got to see guys, you know, really open up. Some guys that you can't get in-depth conversations with everybody on the team. But being able to see, you know, some of those quieter guys really open up to the team showed how much, you know, not only they trusted everybody in that room, you know, with some of their darkest times and darkest moments, but showed that they cared about those people and they're willing to let you know what their hardship was, what their toughest time of their life was. And that was something that I think, you know, ended up bringing us closer together.
Is Tyler Biadasz your hero?
No. I'm probably his.
That was my next question. Yeah.
But clearly your highlight hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen next summer, right? You are engaged.
Well,
let's talk about a topic that you're really excited about, planning a wedding in 2 summers. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We were talking to you a little bit before. You're really excited about planning this wedding, aren't you?
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm not convinced.
How much of the planning are you doing?
Well, right now, because we're so far out, it's not a whole lot going on, but we've gotten started on some stuff.
Will this be a star-studded wedding? A lot of big names and faces from Wisconsin football.
I mean, it's going to be tough to make the list.
We're 2 years out, and I've already been shot down. So
yeah. that goes without saying.
That tells you.
No, it'll be interesting. You know, obviously, we still got a good amount of time to finish the guest list and everything. But I mentioned that Dakota was gonna marry us, so that's one of the things that we have figured out. So
I think that's awesome.
Pretty cool. That's pretty cool. This
will be his first marriage that he's proceeded over, I presume.
Yeah. He at first, because I had told him this when I, you know, first really became friends with Dakota. I'm like, hey, you're gonna end up marrying us. And at first he was like, dude, no, I'm not. Like, there's no way that I'm going to. And then after, I think the first time I saw him after we had gotten engaged, I was like, you're still marrying us. And then he was all for it, and regular Dakota.
I think that's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Do you have a good engagement story? I'm sure everybody asks. That's like the first thing you get asked. Yeah. After, how'd you do it? How'd you pop the question?
Yeah, so good thing Carly was really hungry during this time. Otherwise, we would have probably given it away. I really wanted, obviously, we did end up doing it at my house. We had my parents, her mom, and her now stepdad were there. And snuck the Biadasz's into the mix.
There it is.
So Dave and Lori and Tyler. I think Joey was there. Joey might have been there. He's going to be pissed if he was. Like, we're all about to head outside, and Carly kind of whips around and is like, I got to eat something now, because she was starving or whatever. So we were really, and my sister is right behind me with like a camera and everything. So we were like, we almost got caught again. Luckily, she didn't notice anything. I pulled the ring out of my pocket, the whole shebang and everything. And then she was so surprised that she's going to be pissed at me for saying this.
This is a theme today.
Her original response was, silence at first. She was like covering her mouth, obviously crying. She didn't want to believe that it was real, because we had this little joke going that, like, whenever there was a ring around or something, whether it was fake or anything, like, one of us would grab it and say, would you marry me? So she thought it was all a hoax at first, and what she said was nuh-uh, because she didn't think I was serious. She didn't think I was serious, so everybody there gave her a really hard time. They're like, you said no? Like, after all these years, you still said no? And she, you know, obviously still feels really bad about it. And
that's good. I'm glad we shared that to the world now.
Yeah.
So you've been dating her since?
Since my freshman year of high school.
Freshman year of high school. So
7 years now.
So she's been waiting a long time for this. Although you're only 22 years old. Yeah.
22.
So have you known her or Tyler longer?
Tyler. She moved to Amherst when she was in like 7th grade.
Did you have to get Tyler's approval?
He was well on board. Carly is his sister.
Were you nervous? Were you nervous? Like, asking the question?
Well, yeah, I didn't know if she was going to say yes.
No, not that you didn't know what she was going to say, but that's a big moment in your life.
A little bit. I was ready to get it over with.
More nervous to ask her to marry you or to play in a football game in front of 100,000 people?
Probably ask her. I really, I really don't get nervous.
How long had you had the ring? Like, how long had you been holding on to it and kind of planning this?
So I bought it while I was in Florida when me and JT were working out. Because I was down, like, it was just me down there. And she was still in school and doing her last week of school and graduating while I was down there.
This would have been in the spring.
In May.
Or in May. Okay.
And she, so she wasn't with me, so I was, and I was really bored. I had gotten down there a day early, and we weren't working out or anything. So I was like, well, you know, now would be the best time to get one. She's not here. I got nothing else to do today. So whatever, went to the mall and ended up going to K and spent whatever an hour or something there. She had sent me some pictures, so I had a decent idea on the various like type of ring, like whatever certain shapes or something, what she didn't like.
That's important.
Yeah. So
but you picked it out, good for you.
Yep.
So Carly is a hero of the podcast from previous episodes.
Yep.
Where we talked about,
she is a legend.
She is, where we talked about the 21 man house that she was in charge of putting chore charts together.
Yeah,
is that true?
Boss. Yeah.
She was the boss.
She kept that thing together.
Yeah, it's fallen off since we moved out.
That's what I wanted to know. Yeah, have things taken a turn?
Tyler admitted that they had to have her come in.
Yeah.
Because it had gotten so bad.
Actually, she'll be there later this week too.
Just bailing them out?
Last week she was, yeah. Well, I mean, it comes at a price now. Before she was doing it for rent.
That's good for her.
Now she's upcharging them. So.
So you met in it. We'll go. You had some.
I was like, how much have your living conditions improved then?
Oh, everybody asked me there. So do you miss living in the house? I go, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? Like it's clean all the time in our apartment. It smells way better. It's quiet. There's really nothing like there's no reason for me to miss the house.
There's no going back now.
No. I've been telling all the guys that, you know, once they move out, I'll move back in. We'll move back in, but we won't.
Just giving them that faint glimmer of hope.
Do you have any embarrassing stories about people from living in there? Or maybe an embarrassing story about Tyler from growing up in Amherst? We're putting you on the spot.
It's hard to pick just one, probably.
Yeah, his whole growing up is kind of an embarrassing story.
Go on.
No, to be honest, Tyler was, it might surprise some people, but he was one of the most picked on guys in our graduating class. We were a really, really close group of guys.
There were like six people in your graduating class?
70-some.
Okay.
And we would, you know, make fun of him for anything. We'd call him Toots, Tutor.
I can't imagine
probably
what that means.
Require a lot of imagination to figure that one out.
Yeah, we would always make, you know, obviously he's a huge person, and especially in a smaller town, he's a more huge person. so we'd always make fun of his weight and call him fat, even though he really wasn't fat in high school.
So we've picked on Tyler enough now. Yeah, you good. Do owe him a little something though, right? For how you might have gotten to Wisconsin.
From what I know, he didn't say anything.
Oh, no, this really is a misnomer?
Out. Yeah, he...
Does he take credit?
I don't know if he put in a word for me or anything like that. We were both... I knew that he obviously wanted me to come to Wisconsin, you know, just because...
He would have been lonely, right?
Yeah, yep. Although he would have found some people to hang out with, but...
He'd have nobody calling him Tutor if you didn't show up.
That's true. I did.
He could reset the nickname.
Yeah, I did kind of carry some.
That's a miscalculation on his part.
Some nicknames over, but he got some new ones here, so it really doesn't matter. They lost their luster.
So he came in with a scholarship, and you came in as a walk-on?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was committed going into our senior year. I wasn't offered until a week before signing day.
Mm.
To visit Wisconsin and then walk on to Wisconsin.
Do you remember what it was like the moment you got offered your scholarship?
Yeah, it was me, Erds, and Johnny.
Tyler Johnson, right?
Tyler Johnson.
Yeah. This would have been last year.
Jason Erdman. Yeah. Yes.
2018.
Last summer. Yeah, it would have been last summer. And obviously, we never really have team meetings in the summer. So Coach Chris gave a dead giveaway to start with.
Were you more perceptive of this than Carly was about the engagement?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot you can get by me. So Coach Chris had a team meeting in the summer and calls me, Erds, and Tyler Johnson up to the front of the room. Another dead giveaway. Coach Chris fashion. And said, like, just tells everybody essentially that, you know, these guys are on scholarship now. I was wearing glasses that day. Those almost got broken.
what, like you got mobbed?
Yeah, we got jumped bad. I think Xander was right in front of me because he was that corner spot. And Dakota, you know, everybody just absolutely piling on to us, the three of us. You know, and that's the thing that I remember more is, you know, how excited those guys were for us, you know, rather than, you know, me being excited about it, which I really don't get very excited about anything if you talk to Carly. So that was probably the coolest thing. And then obviously telling my parents, and yeah, my dad started tearing up when I called him. You know, those are the things that are the cooler part of it, I think.
What did Carly think of the mullet?
She hates it.
Is that why it's gone?
Not entirely. Because she was tolerant.
She's a saint. From what I know of her, she is a saint.
And Garrett's in here hanging her out to dry on all this stuff. I mean,
yeah, good thing she's not here tonight. Otherwise, I'd probably get scolded at.
Nobody listens to this.
You won't be sending her the link to this one, no.
Yeah, they, what was the question?
The mullet. Is the mullet coming back?
I've been teetering around the idea of for next year. I wouldn't be able to grow it out this year
with the lines inside the whole thing.
steps.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
steps,
right.
we'll do headshots in like mid-June, so you got time. Like, there's time to, I mean, that's got LinkedIn profile picture written all over it.
Shoot. No, I've been thinking about the only thing that is holding me back is I'm never one to want to do what anyone else has done, so The Vince comparisons are probably the main reason why I don't want to bring it back.
So we need something new.
Just because Vince did it, and that was kind of Vince's thing. Although I had a mullet my sophomore year of high school before Vince had his.
We've seen it. It's on the internet.
Yeah. What if you did it
in? That was my senior mullet. My sophomore mullet was. That's when it all started, and it was kind of it was me and a couple of guys were like, "Hey, you want to grow our hair out and see what we can do?" And I was the only one to go through with it, obviously.
Trying to be different.
And that's where it kind of started, and I was like, you know, this is kind of cool. This kind of fits me. I didn't have it my junior year, and then started growing it out for my senior year.
So we needed something new, right? Something innovative, some sort of cutting-edge haircut?
Yeah.
So you could do, like, dreads?
Or absolutely.
Or, like, braids?
Just a regular haircut.
What about an inverse mohawk? No, so, like, chance. You just shave the middle.
No chance.
Okay.
We'll
workshop it. We'll keep brainstorming.
The only unique hair that I would have would be a mullet. There's no, it's either plain old haircut or it's mullet.
I think that's our social poll for the week. We put it out there.
Ooh,
bring back the mullet, yes or no?
Uh-huh.
And then, I mean, it's like the people's court. Like, once it's been decided, then you have to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Will you do, would you let us dictate that? If the votes,
I mean, tipped. I did tell you guys before, I don't really care what anybody else thinks.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Sure, but
Carly,
but
did,
there's
Carly,
value in giving the people what they want.
Carly did give it there. The okay. She was like, her mom worked on her for a little bit.
So her mom's okay with it?
Yeah, I think her mom. Yeah, her mom liked it. Wow. Or she just likes Carly being rattled. But she, I think she worked on it, and she was like, yeah, it's, I mean, it's okay if you grow it back out.
All right, so you said it's hard to get you excited. Are you excited for the challenge of playing at Ohio State?
Yeah. That's as much as you'll get from me. I'm ready to play. We'll be ready to go.
All right. Well, bring that energy. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Garrett. Our thanks again for Garrett for jumping on the pod with us. Always an insightful interview there. I kind of like his attitude on the Ohio State game there. I like that, to the point, that focus. That was good.
Few words, just yeah. I'm ready to play football.
Like, let's don't tell me, show me, right?
He is a you could tell from the interview. He's a level guy.
Very much so.
Yeah, and I think that's somewhat representative of this team too, and I hope that benefits them. That bodes well for them, that they're not too low, they're not too high, and he is that way. That I don't mistake
the
like laid back interview.
That's
for a lack of passion.
That's his MO, man. Yeah. That's just how he is.
And I wish people could have seen the way he responded to that Ohio State question.
Yeah, that was great.
Like, I'm ready to play football. Yeah. He had that wry smile.
There's a reason he's one of the leaders on this team.
Yeah, yeah. People follow him.
Exactly. Yep. Quickly be on our way out. Let's take a look around and see what else is going on.
What else is happening in UW Athletics?
Volleyball in the broken record department. Volleyball is winning some more. They're 8-0 in the Big Ten now. They knocked off number 17 Illinois and Northwestern. They're off to their best start since 2007. They're going to Michigan State and Michigan this weekend.
They're not just 8-0. They've only lost 4 sets.
Yeah.
In 8 Big Ten matches.
They're killing it.
They're destroying teams.
Yeah, they are killing it. Dana Retke didn't play against Northwestern, so I'll keep an eye on that and see what's, because Kelly Sheffield didn't want to give up much in his weekly news conference.
That was actually kind of funny. He was asked about it. Will Dana Retke be able to play this weekend? And he's like, why would I tell you that? I don't think we want our opponents to know whether she will or will not play. So a little gamesmanship. I'm all right with that. There's no injury report released in volleyball.
No.
What else is going on? Women's hockey, broken record department. That's another one there. They moved to 8-0.
Did you see those scores?
Yeah. They played Long Island, who went Division I in women's hockey for the first time this season. And so they're getting
so
Long Island at the right
Wisconsin.
Time.
Schedule
Wisconsin. Yeah. They're getting Long Island at the right time. They beat them 10-2 and 12-0. But they got a lot out of this trip. It was a pretty cool experience for them. They got to play at Nassau Coliseum.
That's cool.
Where the New York Islanders play their games. So this huge, really cool NHL arena.
Where Mark Johnson had played during his time.
Yeah, in fact.
In the NHL.
People should go check out on the Badger Women's Hockey account, which is at Badger W Hockey. They tweeted a video of Mark Johnson playing in Nassau Coliseum when he was a member of the New Jersey Devils, complete with the red and green Devils uniforms. They used to be red and green.
Green. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It was like Christmas. They were like Christmas out there. But it's a cool video. It's an old video of him scoring a goal in Nassau Coliseum. So it was probably cool for him to be back there. The other thing that blowouts like this afforded them was the chance to get a lot of people their first goal. 5 different ladies on the team got their first goal, including Grace Bowlby. She's a defensive player. You can't say defenseman. Do they just say, still say defensemen?
I think it's okay.
I think it's defenseman. That's the position.
Okay,
yeah,
it feels weird to say.
Defensewoman?
She's a defensive player.
That sounds
player.
Even weirder.
So. Yeah, I suppose. She scored late in the 12-0 game, and the celebration from the team after she scored was like they had just won a big game over Minnesota. They just mobbed her and were so excited for her to get her first career goal, who's a defensive player who is her third year in the program. She's played every game but hadn't That's scored cool. yet. So it afforded them that. That was pretty cool.
That's cool. In the continuing the unbeaten department here, women's soccer moved to 7-0-1 in the Big Ten. They're in a tie for first place with Michigan, and they've already beaten the Wolverines 2-0.
Yeah, they got the tiebreaker over them.
Yeah, and I think they had a good luck charm this weekend. Rose Lavelle was in town and came to the game on Sunday for senior day.
Rose Lavelle was here?
Yeah. Yeah, but she was being incognito. Oh, and by incognito, I mean she wore sunglasses. So she's
quite a
disguise. Not very hidden at all. So a lot of people that were at the game on Sunday got to, you know, get their autographs and pictures taken with her, which is really cool.
Legend. Rose Lavelle. That's awesome.
She was here yesterday just training with Paula Wilkins and McLean, and it was kind of funny to see like football players passing by and like trying to slightly take pictures.
She's totally a thing. Yeah. Jim Leonard, I learned yesterday, huge fan. We were up on the level above the turf surface there in McLean, looking out the window, and I was, and he spotted her first and just started chanting USA, USA, but the windows were closed, so she couldn't hear.
All right, we're off to Columbus. We'll be on a plane on Friday with Chick-fil-A in our hands and a goodie bag on our chair. We'll see what this weekend provides in Columbus. Big opportunity. I'm excited about it. I love when Wisconsin plays at Ohio State.
Awesome atmosphere, awesome opportunity, and you heard it from Garrett. They'll be ready.
Yep. Win, lose, or draw, we'll be here for you too. Recording a pod next week.
Unless we get fired.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Badgers. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your preferred podcast platform. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.